I'm Dan Dietrich, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Wayland, Missouri. Last Sunday, I brought a message entitled, Provoke Not Your Children to Wrath. I began by talking about Paul's instruction in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 to bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Here's the verse, And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There's both a negative and a positive command. These two instructions balance each other perfectly. I presented the positive command first, that is, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Then I dealt with the negative command to provoke not your children to wrath. It was there that I ran out of time. By way of review, nurture comes from a Greek word that means tutorage, education, or training. It has both positive and negative features. The positive feature is instruction, training, discipleship, and reinforcement. The negative features, reproof, correction, chastisement, and even punishment. Admonition comes from a Greek word that means calling attention to a thing, warning or rebuking. The Bible's replete with examples of fathers who failed to admonish or restrain from evil their sons. Two such examples are Eli and Samuel, who were both important men and spiritual leaders, but raised terrible sons who were a burden to society. So Paul commanded fathers to bring up children in nurture, which is instruction and training, and admonition, which is warning and rebuking, with restraint from sin in mind. But Paul, knowing the tendency of human nature to extremism, warns fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. There's an ever-present danger of carrying things too far. Extremism, in this point of rebuking and chastising, is often counterproductive to the cause of bringing up good kids. To help parents in the proper balance of instruction and correction without provoking them to wrath, I've identified 13 things that I believe can provoke children to wrath. I gave you 7 of them last Sunday. Let me review the 7, then I'll give you the remaining 6. First of all, unreasonable demands provoke children to wrath. That is, demands that are made simply by random choices or personal whims. There should be a good and logical reason behind the things we command our children to do. They are not pets who entertain us by doing tricks. Secondly, unrealistic expectations provoke children to wrath. Demanding teen behavior of an adolescent or demanding adult behavior of a teen is unrealistic. Our expectations should be seasoned by our understanding of their maturity level. Thirdly, unfavorable comparisons to other children provoke children to wrath. Constantly holding up some other child or sibling saying, "Why can't you be like them?" will eventually dishearten your child, frustrate him, and make him despise you secretly in his heart. Fourthly, inconsistent behavior on your part as a parent will provoke children to wrath. Inconsistent behavior can be seen either in extreme mood swings that can be caused by pressures that are unknown or unseen to the child, or it can be seen simply as hypocrisy. That is, a parent that is one way at church and another way at home. Children hate hypocrites, and they see inconsistent behavior as hypocrisy. Fifthly, discourteous speech will provoke children to wrath. Talking to your children in a rough, disrespectful, and violent tone will sound arrogant and mean to your child. He will not respond well. You may obtain obedience, but you will not obtain honor. Remember, a slave obeys through fear. A son obeys through love. Sixthly, insulting speech will provoke children to wrath. Insulting speech differs from discourteous speech in that it involves name-calling like dummy or stupid or worse. Discourteous speech carries more the idea of anger and impatience on the part of the parent, where insulting speech belittles and damages the self-respect of the child. Either is counterproductive, either is damaging. Seventh, Jesting about the defects of your child will provoke him to wrath. Listen, children are already sensitive about the features that they feel are not attractive to men. They are already engaged in multiple comparisons with other children who appear to them to be beautiful and well-made. When you identify and make fun of those features, you make a lifelong wound that will be hard to heal. And that's where we left off last week. Number 8, repeating faults and failures will provoke children to wrath. When you constantly bring up things that should have been forgiven and forgotten, you may think that you're doing your child a favor, but instead, you're teaching him that you will never be pleased, that he will never gain your approval. He will soon begin to see you as an unjust judge, and because you represent the Lord to him, he will believe that God is the same way, that God never forgives or forgets either. One day he will say, "Why bother? No matter what I do, it's not good enough, so forget it. I really don't care anymore." You do your child irreversible damage when you say things like, "There you go again," or "You never do learn, do you?" Reiterating faults and failures is amazingly like unforgiveness, and no one prospers under unforgiveness. You've heard the expression, "He buries the axe, but leaves the handle out." Don't be like that with your children. Number 9, criticizing pursuits. Criticizing pursuits, whether they're hobbies or art, athletics, or academics, will provoke children to anger. Remember, your first attempts at many things, at many pursuits, were not so grand either. This often happens when parents are trying to relive their lives through their children. The mother who wishes that she could have learned to play a musical instrument, or the father who wishes that he could have played sports, often become extremely critical, driving their children to succeed in areas where they failed or in areas where they deemed that they were deprived. Little do they know that their criticism and pressure kill all the joy and all the fun in whatever activity for their child. Many times kids quit or want to quit those activities, not because they don't like them, but because the pressure has killed the joy. Instead, try praising them for whatever achievements they make. Remember, hobbies, sports, the arts, even academics are supposed to be fun. And all of us do better when we enjoy what we're doing. Number 10, scorning friends. Scorning the friends of your children will provoke them to wrath. You need to understand excessive companionship with peers signals failure of relationships at home. In other words, if your child has taken up with someone of whom you disapprove, it's probably your fault. You may have driven them away with excessive discipline or correction. They feel that they can't please you, so they find a friend who accepts them for who they are. That's why kids take up with friends. A friend is someone who accepts them as they are. You need to remember this. Children's friends mirror who they see themselves to be. And it's parents who have made them believe that they are who they are. So you see, you're at least partially responsible for the friends that your children choose, whether you like it or not. But when you ridicule your child's friends, you provoke them to anger. Why don't you use the friends that your child chooses to give you insight into your own child's self-image? Then fix what's broken. And when that's fixed, your child will choose better friends. Number 11, needless interference with plans and enjoyment will provoke children to wrath. Lots of kids think that dad and mom sit around all day just thinking up ways to interfere with their fun. Now, it's not true, but it sure does seem that way sometimes. Many parents are guilty of inventing some task just as they see their child's about to launch out upon some entertainment. When the child has finished all of his imposed duties and sees himself finished from duty and free to do something that he's really looked forward to doing, and just at that moment a parent conjures up another chore, that just doesn't seem just. You know, it's true. Many parents are so driven with their own dull life that they can't stand to see their kids have any fun either. Just let me say, Imposing fruitless sacrifices on your children will not cause them to love you more. Eventually, they will resent you as the one who will always stand in the way of their enjoyment of life. Number 12, breaking promises will provoke children to wrath. Scripture says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, and when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life," Proverbs 13:12. Many parents are well-intentioned but overcommitted. They make promises regularly to appease their children and gain desired behavior today based on tomorrow's promises. Never say, "I promise," unless you'll write it in ink and carve it in stone. The child takes the promise of a parent to the bank. And then when you fail to do what you promised, the child sees that as a lie. Now, they'll forgive you a time or two, but after a few broken promises, they will conclude that your word isn't worth the breath that it took to push it through your lips. And they will disrespect you, and you won't know why. You'll say, "Well, after all I've done for them, you'd think I deserved a little respect and a little gratitude." But it isn't what you've done for them that's the problem. It's the things that you promised them that you didn't produce. That's the problem. And that leads us to the 13th thing. Broken promises leads to compensating with material things. The child is hurt by the broken promise, and the parent sees it. So he or she feels obligated to do something for the child. Since time isn't available, a material compensation is purchased or produced. Don't you know that what the child wants is really your love and attention? But after several weeks and maybe months and years of material compensation for your failures and for your broken promises, the child soon becomes a materialist who, though he scorns you and your word, decides that you are the source of all that he can get out of you. In the beginning, he truly desired a relationship with dad or mom, but now all you're worth to him is his next want, his next purchase, or his next dole. Soon, you've created the same sense of entitlement that's running this whole country. And you did it by trying to compensate for personal failures and broken promises. God help us. All this adds up to failure as the vice regent of Christ in your home. Please pay attention to these 13 things that I've identified. They will provoke children to wrath unless treated by repentance and Holy Spirit leading. Be a positive influence on your child and not a negative. God bless you and have a good day.
You've been listening to Pastor Dan Dietrich from First Baptist Church in Wayland, Missouri. Friend, this broadcast is a ministry of our church, and we're trying to discern God's direction for the next year in our ministry, and that includes the question of whether we're being good stewards of time spent in preparation, preaching, and production. But in radio ministry, the only way we can gauge the value of this broadcast is if you respond. So if you've been listening and you've been helped by something you've heard, would you drop us a quick note? You can reach us one of three different ways. You can email us at info@fbcwayland.org or call us at area code 660-754-6312 or send a note through snail mail to P.O. Box 281, Wayland, Missouri 63472. Let me repeat that one more time for you. You can email to info@fbcwayland.org or call us at area code 660-754-6312 or send a note to P.O. Box 281, Wayland, Missouri 63472. And let me remind you that it's not quite 9 o'clock and you still have time to get ready and get to church this morning. If you don't have a church home, I invite you to visit us this morning at First Baptist Church, located in Wayland, Missouri, on Highway B, just an eighth mile north of Highway 136. For directions to our church or to listen to more preaching, log on to our website at www.fbcwayland.org. Once again, that's www.fbcwayland.org.